This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasleeman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. I have this unfortunate task of being the buffer between your food and... So, inshallah, this is all beneficial. MashaAllah, I'm really grateful to all of our speakers. And also to Maulana Bilal who came up. I mean, I only mentioned this to him about 2 days ago and he came and... Inshallah, this will be a great source of inspiration for most of us. The whole reason why this even took place is because you get students who will come and ask you, they're in the third year, the fourth year, or the fifth year, and they're saying, what should I do, Sheikh? I was just in Dundee, and one of the students here, I think he's in Bukhari or something, he says, Sheikh, what should I do after I finish? I said, I don't know. I don't know what you should do. I'm not your Sheikh. I don't know you. Why should I tell you what to do? Right? You need to find your place. I can give you ideas. And everybody, you don't even know what you will do yourself. You just have to have 10 ideas. Identify gaps of, don't just copy what other people are doing. Oh, he's doing this, let me do this as well. It's not a business. Right? You can do that, you can go to another area, but also identify gaps. So now to start with takhassusat. Takhassusat, it means specialization. Iftar and academia, all of that is lumped into one because essentially this is not a career. So what I want to clarify here is that while going into madrasa teaching this, that and the other, that can be a career. This is not a career, this is just specialization. You could be doing this and you could be doing all the other things that you know that we've mentioned already. The whole purpose of this is to specialize in a particular field over and beyond the general alim class study. So, alhamdulillah, if you go through the alim class study, then you learn a bit about tafsir, a good amount of hadith, usul al-hadith, some usul al-tafsir, some aqidah, a lot of fiqh, you know, hopefully, and so on and so forth. That does not make you a specialist in any of those subjects. Right? It doesn't make you a specialist. You need to really focus and dedicate a few years to each one of those subjects to become a specialist, unless... You know, you are literally reading day and night. It's just a very, very complicated thing. Why would you want to do this? You see, if you want to leave something in the world after your death, if you look around generally, if you look at all of the great scholars that we say Rahimahullah to their name, after their name, they are somebody who've left an intellectual contribution. You know, one is that you're a great bayan giver. A great speaker. You know, you will inspire a lot of people. But somebody who leaves an intellectual heritage, generally in the form of writing, and to be able to write something or contribute in that sense, you need to specialize in it before you can put pen to paper. Otherwise, you will be torn to pieces. So takhassusat are very important. It, as I said, it's not a career on its own. It's just further study to then further go into aqidah, into tafsir, into hadith, or whatever it may be. It can be undertaken exclusively or along with a vocation such as imamat or other work. You just have to fully dedicate yourself. You can either do personal study under the supervision of another scholar or go and travel for that. Right, these are the general types. I mean, this is again not exhaustive, but these are generally the dini takhassusat that I've focused on here. So you have the iftar, the mufti course, which I probably think out of all of these, the mufti course would probably be the most... well known, and this is what mostly we have, mashallah, numerous muftis. I went somewhere and somebody said, this is mufti so and so from the UK. Oh, you are the mufti of England. Because if you look in Syria, in Egypt, in Jordan, and all these countries, they only have a few muftis. One is the mufti of the country, one is the mufti of the armed forces, one is the mufti of Damascus. Right, it's a special position. It's not, doesn't reflect your knowledge as such. And mashallah, we have, mashallah, many muftis. Right? Alhamdulillah. So that's the iftar course. I'm not denigrating. I'm just explaining the differences. Takhassus fil hadith. We really need this in the UK. This is not sufficiently catered for. Then what you have is people who haven't studied much usul al hadith, except Nukhbatul Fikr or whatever, and a few other books, and then they start giving certain... We have a big challenge basically in this regard, right? Takhassus fil qira'ah, right? That's quite important just to for the continuation of... Because every single qira'ah out of the seven is supposed to be equal, right? I'm just going really fast. Takhassus fit tafsir. This is really important. Unfortunately, I can't recall at this point in time where a tafsir course, where there is a takhassus fit tafsir course that I can recommend to you. Takhassus fil aqidah. Again, another very important point, especially moving into modern philosophy. Not just knowing the not just knowing your Sharh al-Aqaid well or your Kalam well, but also understanding the modern challenges. Inshallah, we're having a book written on that subject, dealing with all the modern philosophy soon, inshallah. Qadha, the judiciary course, right? That's very important. And the reason for that is, you know, these when husband and wives have issues and the husband won't give talaq or there's certain other marital conflicts, these things are very much needed. Masters and PhD, right? So you can take that route to specialize in something through a master's or a PhD. Right, suitability. What kind of a person you need to be to do any of this? Let me just ask a question. How many of you want to do some kind of takhassus after you finish? Right. Okay, that sounds about right. Because what you need is not everybody's going to do this. Not everybody who goes through an alim course, unfortunately, right, is going to be wanting to spend another few years afterwards. Right. You need to be extremely studious. You have to have a certain type of intellectual acumen. You know, you really want to. You have to have a certain category of that. Have a lot of curiosity. You want to know more. High aspiration. You definitely need that. And if anybody lacks high aspiration, read the Sayyidul Khatir of Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah. He'll give you that, and a number of other books. Firm resolution and divine enablement, tawfiq. The benefits of this role. Huge intellectual fulfillment, believe me. As Imam Shafi'i says that if the muluk, if the rulers of the world knew what we had in our research and our understanding, then it is more pleasurable than sleeping with virgins. Right? And if you think that's an exaggeration, then subhanAllah, that's not an exaggeration. Yes, we need leadership of the Muslims. It's going to be people who will do certain takhassusat, will become specialized in things, that will hopefully be able to lead the community. Fulfillment of a fard kifaya, that's very important, a communal obligation. We need to have within every community somebody who is specialized in all of these subjects. So the normal imam in the masjid, he is the doorway, the gateway to all of this. Somebody's going to come and ask a strange question about aqidah. He doesn't know about apostasy. Richard Dawkins, you know, somebody's come with their daughter, with their son, 15 years old, they've got issues. We don't know how to deal with this. Somebody's come with evolution. We need somebody with some takhassus to be able to deal with this. And train others after qualification. So at least provide an understanding. Even if people won't specialize, you can actually come back to London, for example, Leicester, wherever you want to go, and then at least make people aware of whatever specialization that you have. Okay. Generally, the challenges of this role will be, you know, if you really are committed and you really want to do it, that's the biggest hurdle. But then it'll be costs and funding. A lot of this is going to require plane tickets. It's going to require you to go and maybe stay somewhere. It's not that, you know, how much do madrasas charge nowadays? 2,000 a year or something? What's the madrasa fees? Huh? 2.5 now, right? This could be a lot more because you have to go, you have to travel different countries, look for a place, spend money. Spousal support, you want to get married, your parents want you to get married, or you need to get married, right? Then does your wife want to travel? You want to go. I remember when I was finishing Darulum Berry, I was supposed to get married 3 years after that. But then, mashallah, some opportunity came up and I got fixed while just a few months or so before graduating. And there was a friend of mine who knew I was going to travel, who I wanted to travel and study for 3 more years. And then when he found out I got fixed up, he says, forget it. You're finished now, right? But alhamdulillah, it worked out. I did travel for 3 years. And after the first year, we had a child as well, right? So it worked. And you need the commitment, but you definitely need to make a lot of dua that your spouse is going to support you. Otherwise, if she's crying, right, and you've taken her to South Africa to study, right? Or you've taken her to India, Pakistan to study, and she's crying, I want to go home. Your life will be miserable, right? So if you want this path, you need to find a spouse who also wants that path. And if you both have it, Allahu Akbar. That would be the most wonderful thing. So travel, it requires a lot of travel. And of course, you have to come out of your comfort zone. You have to do strange things to go and do this. right? تخصص في الحديث مظاهر علوم سهرنپور, and that will be obviously very difficult for it's easier for Indian people of Indian background, but for Pakistani background, unfortunately, that's difficult. I'm not sure. Does anybody know if there's a تخصص في الحديث program in Karachi or somewhere in Pakistan?
Yeah.
It's in Korangi.
Korangi and Newtown.
Korangi and Newtown. Okay. Well, that I need to add to that then. And of course, Darul Uloom, these places have two-year courses for تخصص في الحديث, which is very important to have that. Alhamdulillah, we've got actually Maulana Haroon, who did the تخصص في الحديث in Sahranpur, and he's here. So if anybody's interested, then please, because it's important to understand your takhrij and, you know, your asma'ur rijal and everything else.
Okay.
تخصص في القراءه, there's obviously the madaris in the UK that have it. For those, unfortunately, if you've studied in a madrasa that doesn't have it, then it would probably require you to go out to India, Cairo, and other places. Okay, carry on. These are just ideas. This is not exhaustive. تخصص في التفسير. Anybody have suggestion? Is there any course anybody knows about? Because I know one year they had it in Sahranpur. If there's enough of you, I'm sure we can get it organized somewhere. But the Mufti Zarwali Khan in Karachi. And تخصص في العقيدة. This is a new kind of a subject which people are gaining a lot more interest in. And inshallah, make dua that locally we can organize this and some of the other takhassusat program. There is a project in mind. There is a project in the works right now to provide takhassusat for graduates, inshallah. So make dua for that. Qadha judiciary course. Imara Shar'iyya, Patna, Bihar, India. Qadhi Mujahidul Islam's place, rahimahullah. Darulum Karachi, I believe, has one. And also Jamia Shafiyya has one. Right. This is for qadha, to understand how those. And masters and PhD. Now, this is something that a lot of people are interested in. I'm not going to speak about going into engineering or pharmacy or something else. That's a whole different category. Somebody else can speak about. Alhamdulillah, we have numerous scholars who've gone into various different fields in the secular side of things. I'm speaking about how to get into a master's or a PhD. Generally, your alim class certificate, unfortunately, does not equate to much in terms of the accreditation. I tried both here in the UK and in America, and it doesn't amount to much. Yes, if an individual university sees your sanad, your certificate, and they say, okay, you look like a talented individual, they may make a discretion. But otherwise, from an accreditation perspective, it doesn't, unfortunately, it's not equal to anything. Generally, what you must do, right, and if you want to go this way, please do not go into a BA course and go and sit with these 18-year-olds. You've just spent 6 years or 7 years or whatever, and then you go and do A-levels again. I just find that really ridiculous, to be honest. That's my perspective. And then have to go and sit with these 18, 19-year-olds and do that. Rather, the options there is try to get into a particular university if you can through some contacts. If you cannot, then generally, if you go to Cambridge Muslim College, which has a wonderful course, 1 year, and it just gives you a great diversified understanding of how our society works. Everything, you know, from astronomy to anthropology and counseling and feminism, and subhanAllah, it's really good. But the benefit is that if a lot of people who've done that course, then they can generally jump from that into SOAS for a master's. Right? So you cut out everything else. You don't have to worry about your BA anymore. The other option is a lot of people are going to Islamic Foundation, whether to do Islamic Finance or some other course. And then, Markfield. Yeah, that's right. Yes, Markfield in Leicester or outside of Leicester. Then that allows you sometimes to jump into, it does allow you to, that you can do a master's there. Sometimes they accept the Alimiya course for that. And then, of course, there's SOAS. Now, that's not all. If you can't do any of these things, you can't spend the full time doing any of these things, well, you know, a lot of people want to practice their Arabic. Try as you might in the UK, unless you're very dedicated and you find a group of Arabs to argue with every day, is going to find it very difficult, right? For that, you need to spend some time in an Arab country to do that practice, right? And again, private study with ulama is another thing that you can do. Just because you can't go to another country or enter a course for a proper specialization, after you're farig, you're an imam maybe you're a chaplain maybe, you're whatever you are, go and try to attend a class once a week somewhere to continue to refresh your knowledge. This is very important, because believe me, our knowledge stagnates. Your 6 or 7 years that you spend in your madrasa, you think that gives you the whole world. In terms of tawfiq, it can, but really in terms of knowledge, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It gives you enough tools, and you need to continue to add to that from any of those. So try to find try to arrange or join existing study circles with ulama. This is very important. This doesn't happen. But alhamdulillah, it has started. It's been happening in London as well. We've been coming together for the last 5 or 6 years at least, you know, once a week, and we've gone through a number of books. And now, mashallah, somebody started this in Birmingham as well. And this just needs to happen. Because a lot of our ulama, when they finish, they just stagnate. Then they're just teaching their book, or they're teaching maktab or madrasa or something like that, and that's it. And you have to continue develop. Yeah, this is what you call taking a sabbatical. We can't do that, so at least we do something like this. What's next? We have a study. Anybody who's interested in the study, so currently we are going through Hujjatullah al-Baligha, which is Shah Waliullah's amazing piece of work, right? Anybody's interested, let us know. That's after you're farigh. You know, you're in madrasa right now. And I just want to thank you all for coming here. I'm going to let Maulana Abdurrahman deal with that for us. But what I want to say is, don't just pick one option, because you may not be successful in that option. Have at least 3 to 5 ideas from what you've heard today and other ideas, and ask Allah. Maulana Salim Dorat Sahab, Damat Barakatum, I remember he told us a long time ago, and this was before he had the big academy. This was when he had a small one, right? The house. Right, he's related to me, and I'd gone to visit him once, and he said, look, every day after Isha, 2 rakats of Salatul Hajj, and ask Allah for acceptance for the service of his deen. Believe me, this is very powerful. Have ideas and ask Allah for tawfiq, and when you come out, you'll take the world, inshallah.